NPR.
Welcome, I'm Sean Canaan, and this hour we're going to hear from one of the two finalists in the runoff race for Tampa mayor. At the end of the show, we'll take your calls with your thoughts. I can also read your emails and see who you're voting for. The number to call in is 813-239-9663. You can email dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. And just let us know, who do you think you'll be voting for in the runoff election? On Friday, Tampa Tiger Bay Club invited both candidates, former police chief Jane Castor and former banker David Straz, to a forum. Straz said he was not available. I've reached out to his campaign to join us this hour. I have not heard back yet. So we'll bring you questions from Tiger Bay members and the responses from Jane Castor. And I want to thank TBAE for the audio. They're going to televise this forum soon. They have a schedule online at tbae.net. And they often play Tiger Bay forums on Sunday and Wednesday at 11 in the morning and 9 o'clock in the evening. So I want to first play the introductory statement from Jane Castor, who is one of the candidates running for Tampa mayor.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for taking time out of your busy schedules for coming out here today. It's nice to see that clock back. I've missed it for a while. I want to recognize some other public servants that may not be in office now or in office now that weren't recognized. Arthenia Joyner, Betty Castor. Yeah. And we have Yvette Lewis from the president of the NAACP as well. And I hope I didn't miss anybody. I'm not real good at all that. I'm too with Bob and the pollen. That's why I have to have the water up here. I always heard people say that in Florida, you know, you don't have any seasons there. And I said, sure we do. I said, we have summer, we have 4 days of winter, and we have allergy season. I'm thinking we've got it all covered. But anyway, again, glad that you're all out here today. I'm Jane Castor. For those of you who don't know me, born and raised here in Tampa, raised my family here. I've lived in Seminole Heights since I was 21 years old. Tell people by virtue of being 6 foot tall in the second grade, I was a pretty good athlete. And so I got a full athletic scholarship to the University of Tampa, which was really the opportunity of a lifetime for a young 17-year-old, and really opened up all the doors of opportunity for me. And I made a promise at that time that I would do the same for other young people in our community. And I hope I've upheld that promise throughout my life, because I found that most people just need an opportunity. Most young people just, well, most people, period, just need an opportunity. So I went over to the Tampa Police Department, and as I have said before, I really would like to tell a story of it was a lifelong ambition or a family history. You know, my mother has asked me somewhere in the ballpark of 800 times if I watch Blue Bloods, and I do not and have not. But I wish I had that story, but I sort of got in there by accident. And I tell everyone I was blessed because for 31 years, there was never a day I didn't want to go to work. I loved what I did. I loved being able to go out and serve the community, help my community every single day. And that is why I'm running for mayor, because I want the opportunity to serve my community again. And as many of you have heard me say, the city's going to change in the next decade more than it has in my entire life. And we have one opportunity to create that city that we all want, that city that we want to live and work in, and the city will be proud to pass off to the next generation. So I'm very excited about being a part of that and working with each and every one of you and every other member of our community to lift Tampa up to new heights. So I welcome this. The only thing that I would ask, I say, you know, I was a police officer for 31 years. I've got two 19-year-olds, so there's probably no question that you could ask me that would throw me off. But with this crowd, you just don't know. So you guys, you know, be kind, all right? Just be kind. All right, with that, we'll open it up to whatever questions.
Well, that's Tampa, former Tampa police chief and candidate for mayor Jane Castor speaking on Friday. And you're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa or WMNF.org. That was her opening statement. We're going to hear now the first questions that were put to her from members of Tampa Tiger Bay. And I want to know what you think. You can call 813-239-9663. You'll be on hold for a little bit if you do it right now, but later in the show, I'll open up the phone lines. Also, you can email dj@wmnf.org. Let me know who you're going to vote for. You can text 813-433-0885. It's 11:11 in the morning, and you're listening to 88.5 FM. So here are the first two questions from members. They were asked to begin with a one-word description of their issue. These are questions about transportation and neighborhoods. This is Jane Castor answering from a forum from Tampa Tiger Bay Club last Friday.
Neighborhoods.
Amen.
Jane, during your time as police chief, the city of Tampa experienced a reduction in crime. Yes. I'd like to know what your proudest moment as chief was.
My name's Jane Castor. Oh, you mean her. I'm sorry.
Missy Martin.
Oh, we covered that. Thank you, Missy. And thank you for all you do in the neighborhoods as well. Missy won one of the chiefs, yes, one of the chief's awards at the Chief's Coffee. So thank you and everyone else who works so hard in your neighborhoods. I would say proudest moment, you know, it's interesting. Let me tell a story. I'm very proud, and it's difficult to pick, you know, one incident, but people always say, how were you able to reduce crime so dramatically? And I say, first and foremost, it was the partnership with the citizens. That's the way that we were able to make Tampa as safe as it is. And I'll tell a real quick story about that. So a woman that had gone through Leadership Tampa, those of you who have gone through it, you have Law Enforcement Day and then you go and do a ride along. And so she had done a ride along. She was so excited. She goes, yeah, I rode along last night and we were driving down Nebraska, Flora, Nebraska, and the police officer says, did you see that? She goes, I didn't see anything. And said, the guy started running and he goes, he threw something down. They went around, called out a perimeter. People came, other officers came around, said a citizen came out and pointed. She goes, we ended up getting this guy hiding underneath a house and he had thrown down a gun, went back and recovered a gun. And she was just so excited about the whole incident. And for me, the beauty of that was a citizen who came out and pointed, the citizen getting involved, helping the police department make and keep our city as safe as it is. So I'm very, very proud of everything that our department has been able to do in cooperation with the citizens. So thank you, Missy.
Transportation.
Amen again.
My name is Elizabeth Lyman from Seminole Heights.
Yeah.
And I welcome someone running from Seminole Heights.
All right.
But I have a question, and that is, who do you think are going to be these advisors for David Strauss on Monday morning? That's question number one. And who is going to be your advisors as mayor? Thank you.
Okay. Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure with David Strauss what his will be. First, a shout out for Seminole Heights. I tell everybody I've lived there. Said yes, Kimberly Overman's neighbor too. Whoop whoop. Yeah, you guys got the whole Seminole Heights over there with Susan and everybody. And now I say I've lived there since I was 21 and I'm 59 now. And now Seminole Heights is hip. I said so clearly I had zero to do with the hipness of Seminole Heights. And then, of course, my boys are standing there like that's a news flash. There's nothing hip about you, Mom. But anyway, it is the place to be now. But I don't know who David's advisors will be. But, you know, a Monday morning staff meeting isn't original. That's actually been done before. But my advisors, you know, clearly department heads, but I have always been a proponent of diversity. I always say that we are all a sum total of our life experiences, and those experiences need to be around the table when decisions are made that affect our entire community. So my advisors will be diverse advisors, and my leadership style in the past has been to get input from as many people that I can, so I get as many viewpoints and as much information as possible prior to making a decision. And then once that decision is made, I own it and I take responsibility for it. So I will have a variety of advisors. I don't like having just a close-knit group that that you don't get the full picture. I always told everybody the way I knew exactly what was going on in the police department was to go down into the gym and take my uniform shirt off and work out, because once you take that uniform shirt off, you're not the chief anymore, and they'll tell you things that you want to hear and things you don't want to hear too. So, but that's the way to run a department, and that's the way to run the city.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, before I had an Under Armour shirt underneath. So if I took it off now, y'all don't run out screaming. Trust me.
That's former Tampa Police Chief and candidate for Mayor Jane Castor speaking on Friday at Tampa Tiger Bay Club. They invited both candidates, former Police Chief Castor and former banker David Straz, to a forum. Straz said he was not available, and I've reached out to his campaign to join us this hour. I have not heard back yet, and we're bringing you questions from the Tiger Bay members this hour. You're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa. It's 11:16 in the morning, and the next two questions, my name is Sean Canaan, and you're listening to 88.5. The next two or three questions are about positive campaigns, about flooding in Tampa, and about sea level rise. So here is former Tampa Police Chief and Mayor candidate Jane Castor speaking Friday and answering questions from Tampa Tiger Bay Club members about positive campaigns, sea level rise, and flooding. If you'd like to email who you're voting for, dj@wmnf.org, or you can text 813-433-0885.
Hi, Jane.
Hey.
Patrick Basquiat, positive, in positive campaign.
Amen.
Thank you for running a positive campaign. So my question has to do with the residency requirements for the mayor. Mm-hmm. Can the mayor of Tampa be a part-time resident of Tampa and live someplace else for half the year and just come back? Or is there any requirements within the city charter? Do we know that?
Well, no, I don't. I think that it just deals with the residency, that your primary residence has to be in the city of Tampa. But that's one of the things that as my time at the police department is, I never went anywhere that I couldn't be back immediately, because you are, and a lot of individuals don't understand it's not a 9-to-5 Monday through Friday kind of a job. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you're there, you know, when your phone rings at 3 a.m, it's not going to be good news. And I've been in that position too many times. And so I can't say that I understand what it is to sit in the seat of the mayor, because I don't think anybody understands that until you're actually there. It was one of the things, I was an assistant chief of operations for 5 years, and I thought I was 100% prepared. But till you sit in that seat, you don't know the significance of that responsibility. But having been the chief, I think I have a pretty good understanding. And it is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I am prepared for that, and I believe that my experience shows that preparation for it. Thank you, Pat.
Roseanne Clemente and stormwater.
Oh, yes.
So my question to you.
I'm going to get Harry to help me answer on this one.
What do you believe is the most pressing environmental issue for the city of Tampa?
I think the most pressing environmental issue is going to be the rise in the sea level. That is, you know, that's something that we have got to address immediately, and I intend to address it from two angles, and one is going to be from what we can do to respond to the climate change, you know, whether it's through codes, regulations, raising roadways, building codes, whatever we can do to address that as we move forward. And then from the other side is what we can do to reduce our carbon footprint. And that's not just the city. There's a number of steps that the city can, we can look at our fleet, we can look at making buildings green, whatever we can do as a city to reduce that. But also getting the community involved, because it really is everyone's responsibility. And there are simple steps that we can all take to save water, to, you know, reduce litter, to recycle, to, you know, whatever we can do to reduce our carbon footprint is very, very important. And we need to be prepared yesterday for that. And with that too, since I have 45 seconds left, with that too, or, you know, looking at the storms too, I don't think that Hurricane Michael was an anomaly. Unfortunately, that I believe is the future. And so we have to be as prepared as we can. I told both Mayor Iorio and Mayor Buckhorn, I said, if we're hit by a hurricane, we are as prepared as we can be, but there's not going to be anybody high-fiving each other after that going, man, we tore that up, didn't we? It's not going to be pretty. And so it's going to take everybody to prepare and respond if we get hit by one of those monster hurricanes. Thank you.
Flooding.
There you go.
We know that you're Gary Dalton. We know you're a political ally of the current mayor, but of course, when you were police chief, you couldn't express any differences. Are there some differences on policies that you have with the current mayor, and should we expect a continuation third term of Mayor Buckhorn, or what can we expect differently from you?
No, I don't think it's not going to be a continuation of third term. I know that there were other candidates that disagreed with me, but I believe that we have had good mayors in the past, and we've had the right mayor at the right time historically. And I'm Jane Castor. I'm not anybody else. And as I said before, we're a sum total of our life experiences. So the experiences that I'm going to bring into the mayor's office are going to be different. My style, my leadership style will be different. And the advisors that I have will be different as well. So I admire Bob Buckhorn, and I admire Pam Iorio, I admire Dick Greco. You know, I think that they all did a good job, and I certainly will learn from their administration some of the things that they did very well, but my style is going to be very, very different.
Well, that's former Tampa Police Chief and candidate for Mayor Jane Castor speaking on Friday at Tampa Tiger Bay Club. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. My name is Sean Canaan. It's 11:22 in the morning, and you're listening to 88.5 WMNF.org. We're going to play more of Jane Castor's speech at the Tampa Tiger Bay Club on Friday. It was supposed to be a forum for two candidates for both the finalists in the Tampa mayor runoff. Former banker David Straz said he could not attend that forum, and I've reached out to his campaign to join us this hour. I haven't heard back yet, so we'll see if he does call in. And Jane Castor is now going to answer questions from these Tiger Bay members. She's going to talk about education opportunities and preservation in Tampa. So here is former Tampa Police Chief and candidate for Mayor Jane Castor. You can email dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885.
Lynn Gray, education.
Another amen.
Priorities, I know that you have many, and I know that you're very focused on law enforcement, of course, but can you share with Tiger Bay your rate of prioritizing public school education?
Mm-hmm. Public school education, I believe education is really the key to, you know, so many issues. If we had the educational system that we all wished that we had, we would have much less crime. There would be more job availability and a skilled workforce for that job, for those jobs. So there's just so many areas that are affected by education. Education is the cornerstone of success, in my personal opinion. And while the mayor doesn't have a direct effect on that, I will be, as I always have been, a champion for education. I was on the board of my kids' school the entire time that they were from kindergarten up to eighth grade, and very, very active in that. And as major out in District 2, we had everything north of Hillsboro. We had Sulphur Springs, which was an F school. So my entire staff was, I say voluntold, but volunteered to be big brothers and big sisters. And my little sister I was matched with in third grade, and now she's 24 years old. We also, as a police department, understand the significance of education in the work that we do. And so we opened two after-school programs, Rich Houses, one in Sulphur Springs, one in Robles Park, and some great stories. One of the head of the police officer who heads the Sulphur Springs Rich House now, no one in her family had graduated from high school. She went to college, became a police officer, and now after being a police officer for 3 years, she runs the Rich House in Sulphur Springs. So there you are as an example to all the young kids in Sulphur Springs of what you can accomplish if you do focus on your education. So I will be a very loud voice for education in Tampa, and workforce development is going to be one of the priorities of my administration as well. And that I think we need to change that culture of everybody has to go to college as soon as they're out of high school, because there's a lot of money to be made in the trades, and it's a very respectable lifestyle and profession as well. So thank you, Lynn.
Home rule. Thank you for running. And I would thank Mr. Straz if he was here, but I can't do that. Kathy Betancourt. Former Chief Bob Smith once said that education was the key to fighting crime, and he also was very supportive of the Tampa Recreation Department and all of the staff meetings because of the importance it had on neighborhoods.
Right.
Could you talk a little bit about your vision for Tampa Parks and Recreation and for the role that you think it can play in your administration?
Yeah, that. Thank you, Kathy, for that. That's, you know, it is incredibly important. And you know, I would think as a police officer that had I not had the opportunities that I had, a supportive family, I mean, my family, I tell everybody I was in high school before I realized we were poor because everybody in my neighborhood was in the same predicament. But, you know, it's that support and that guidance. And had I not had that, you know, I may have been on the other side of law enforcement. So it is critically important. And what our city does to provide those constructive outlets for young people is very, very important. And we did, as I said, at the police department, we had a number of mentoring programs, Young Citizens Academy, Police Explorers, the Rich Houses, Police Athletic League, where we provided scholarships for after school and then for summer programs as well, and teach life skills at those locations. And then also during the summer, all of the school resource officers were assigned parks in their school's area of responsibility. So they were there to ensure that the kids had a safe place to get rid of that a constructive energy. I don't know if anybody knows, when I retired, I started swimming again. I used to do that when I was younger. And $15 a year, $15 a year for our recreation, for a pool that was open 7 days a week, you know, you just can't beat that. But we need to make sure that we're opening more of the pools around the city. That will be a focus for me as well. And then ensuring that the kids have the opportunity to get to those parks, to be able to participate in those activities. And that will be a very strong, as it has always been. Because that, I feel, is one of the reasons I'm standing before you today, is the support and the guidance that I got. And we can do that through Parks and Recreation at the city as well. Look at how many people's lives have been changed by Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Boys and Girls Clubs, Tampa Parks and Recreation. So huge proponent of that.
Adam Bantner, economic opportunities. I think you really get to know a candidate or a person just by knowing where they spend their time, their talents, and their treasures. So outside of policing and outside of campaigning, what do you do?
There is no outside of campaigning at this point. Clearly, Adam, you have never been in this world. Yeah, right. Yeah, there was before. You know, and that's funny because for me, my stress relief is working out. And, you know, and I've always been, that's one of the things that I've learned through the years, that if I stop, then that's when I get sick. And so I haven't been able to work out since I started this campaign process. And ergo the revolving cold or whatever it is that I have. But that's what I like to do. I'm very avid, very active, you know, whatever it is. Cycling, I wish I was a runner. God bless all the runners here. The only runner's high I get is when you hit that finish line, and I'm like, thank God it's over. I don't know why, it's just never been, but I can get on my bike and ride 100 miles. So that, as far as activity, you know, being with my family, Anna and our boys, used to go boating. People say they go fishing in the Castor family. We boat because we can't catch fish. We try. It just doesn't work. But those are things that are very near and dear to my heart. One of the things my family has a cabinet shop over at Roman Green. They've been there since 1977. And so I worked there when I went through college, and I would buy old houses in Seminole Heights and restore those. And I did it all myself except for plumbing and electricity. So that I really, really enjoyed, but clearly have zero time for that. Especially when you live in a 1929 home, there's a lot of upkeep, and there ain't no upkeep going on at the Castor house. I can tell you that right now. But I can't wait till the campaigning is done and I can get back to those things. Maybe a normal life, huh?
I'm asking for a friend.
All right.
Historic preservation, Jackson House, and your position on historic preservation.
Right. Well, the Jackson House specifically, you know, we need to see. It's just such a shame that that became an issue really when it was too late. I mean, if you look, my dad used to have a saying. He'd say, if the termites stopped holding hands, the whole place would cave in. He would say that about all the old homes. But, you know, it really is a shame. But I think it's to the point now where it needs to be rebuilt. But my vision for that, for what it's worth, I don't know that my opinion counts on anything, is it would be wonderful to have that rebuilt and have it a bed and breakfast with, you know, with the historic educational component in it as a bed and breakfast right down there where, you know, you're in the heart of downtown and you get to see the historical significance of the Jackson House and everything that it brings. And then I think that the person that would be in charge of it would be Arthenia Joyner, and she would she would be the one that would do all the historical tours there. Without a doubt. But that is a treasure that, you know, that we just can't lose that history. It's very important.
Well, that's former Tampa Police Chief and candidate for Tampa Mayor Jane Castor speaking last Friday at the Tampa Tiger Bay Club. And the club invited both candidates, former Police Chief Castor and former banker David Straz, to a forum. Straz said he was not available. I've reached out to his campaign and we'll see if we hear back from him today. And we are bringing you questions from those Tiger Bay Club members and the responses from Jane Castor today. It's 11:32 in the morning. My name is Sean Canaan, and you're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org. You can email us at dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885 and let us know who you're going to vote for in the Tampa mayor's race. Let us know if you live outside Tampa, who would better represent you, because Tampa is kind of the engine that drives this community. It's one of the main engines, that is. I don't want to make it sound like it's the only city, of course. You can also call in at 813-239-9663. We'll have a few minutes at the end of the show for call-in questions. So let's go back now to former Tampa Police Chief and candidate for Mayor Jane Castor speaking last Friday. We'll hear questions from members. They were asked to begin with a one-word description of their issue. We're going to hear questions about sidewalks, about housing, and about the city working with the county. We're going to hear from one of the county commissioners. Here's Jane Castor answering questions.
Mauricio Rosas, sidewalks.
Yes.
And dog parks too. No. How will you move Tampa from a car-centric culture to one where mass transit becomes a practical and viable secondary mode of transportation?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that's what we're aiming to do. You know, I tell people we're so far behind in transportation, we think we're first. But That's very important. And really with the gridlock and the congestion and everything that, like, now for me, you know, it used to just be that I-4 entrance ramp that was backed up 24/7. And now, you know, you and I are neighbors. And now you get on at Sly, you get on the interstate at Sly, and it's backed up every day down to Hillsboro. So as my kids used to say when they were young, it's getting worser and worser. And that really is, you know, the law of thermodynamics. It says, you know, it'll take the path of least resistance. I think that a lot of this congestion is going to have to get a little bit worse before we can force people into mass transit. And the only issue with that equation is we have to have the mass transit. So looking at, for example, one of the things I talk about quite often is our bus system. You know, if you look in other cities, the bus system is a viable form of transportation. If you look in Tampa and other cities, it's looked upon as what poor people use. And as soon as you can afford a car, you're getting off of the bus and buying a car. So we need to change that. And that's a responsibility not only of Heartline and city and county government, but it's also the responsibility of the community too. So we have to make it. Look at the great example of the streetcar. You know, from Ybor to downtown, you know, you could be the only person on that any day of the week, and now that it's free, it's packed. So we have to make it, you know, with the bus system, even to Topher's point when he was talking about making it free, you know, making it free, getting people used to that. And then clearly it has to be supported monetarily. But looking at businesses too, requiring businesses to buy, not requiring, but asking them, encouraging them to buy bus passes. So then they don't have to pay for parking, and it's a win-win for the business and their employees. So there's a lot of answers and or answers for that. Thank you.
Affordable housing, Betsy right. Habner.
Hey, Betsy.
What is, hey, Jane, what is your plan for dealing with the affordable housing crisis in the city?
Right.
More than half of our population is spending 50% or more on rents, and they just keep going up.
Right. And that's something that, another issue that we needed to start on yesterday, and there's a number of factors that go into that. So what the city can do as far as reducing the bottom line for developers. You know, there's a lot of criticism of developers and the definition of affordable housing being $180,000 to $220,000. But the cost of building materials, the tariffs, everything else that has occurred, you know, that's the bottom line. So what can we do as a city by maybe relaxing parking restrictions, retail restrictions, providing free lots? What can we do to take some of that expense off the bottom line so that can be passed on to the buyer or the renter? And then looking at, you know, innovative building techniques, there's a lot of things that we can look on the construction side of it, and providing alternate forms of housing too, whether it's micro housing, any of those types of things. But then just as significantly is, how do we bridge the gap between what that costs and what the home buyer can actually afford? A lot of people can afford the first month's, or they can afford the rent or the mortgage payment, but they can't afford first and last month's down payment, or they can't afford the down payment for the mortgage. So what can we do as a city to provide that or help out in that situation? One of the things that I would like to look at with city council is set-asides for affordable housing. If you're building a development or a home, then a certain percentage of any of those multifamily needs to be affordable housing, or a requisite amount of money is put into a fund that can be used for affordable housing and helping people out. Looking at grants, we have one grant writer for the city, looking at grants on the state and federal level. Whatever we can do to address that issue, because our diversity is what defines us as a great city. And the last thing that we can have is our residents pushed out of the city because they can't afford it. And then the transportation that goes along with that, transportation issues as well.
Thank you, Kimberly Overman. My word is cooperation.
All right.
What do you see as the greatest opportunities or challenges in having the city and the county work together to accomplish the goals that you've outlined?
Well, I see the challenges as opportunities too, but usually the issues usually come down to personalities, is what I've found in my past. So I see a very close working relationship that's beneficial to everyone. Some of the examples for on a number of levels for the county and the city specifically. And then for the region as well, you know, for Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater, we should be marketing ourselves as a region. We, each city has unique characteristics that are very attractive, and we need to be working together not only for tourism, but bringing businesses and everything else into our community. But there's a great deal to be accomplished by working together. Even things that some of the software that we have shared on the county and the city level, and the savings, the cost savings that you can realize by working together in those areas. And then, you know, the county has strengths and weaknesses just as the city does. So the city should lean on the county where your strengths are, and vice versa. And so I foresee a very close working relationship between the city and the county. When I was with the police department, we worked very closely. People would come to Tampa and they would be amazed that the way that we got along here, because usually sheriff's office and police departments don't get along, and then nobody talks to the feds. And here, everybody was on a first-name basis. And that, just think of the benefit of that. You know, when you show up to a scene, the last thing that you need to be doing is sharing business cards, because you should already know each other, and I should know what capabilities, what your strengths are, and you should know the same for me. And that's what we'll be doing on the county city level when I'm the mayor.
Well, that's former Tampa Police Chief and candidate for Mayor Jane Castor speaking on Friday. She was answering a question from Hillsborough County Commissioner Kimberly Overman, and you're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF.org. And there's an election for mayor coming up. The runoff election is between Jane Castor, who we just heard, and former banker David Straz. They were both invited to a forum at Tampa Tiger Bay Club last Friday. Straz said he was not available. I reached out to his campaign to join us, but I haven't heard back yet. So we're going to continue to listen to Jane Castor responding to questions from Tampa Tiger Bay Club members. If you'd like to weigh in and tell us who you're voting for, DJ@WMNF.org or text 813-433-0885. My name is Sean Canaan. It's 11:41 in the morning, and you are listening to 88.5 FM WMNF.org. I want to thank TBAE for this audio. Scott Maiden and Jessica Sturgis helped me out by getting the audio for me, and they're going to play the video and audio of this forum sometime in the next few weeks before the election. And they usually play the Tiger Bay forums on Sunday and Wednesday at 11 in the morning and at 9 in the evening at tbae.net. There's a schedule there. So let's go back and hear some more questions and answers from Tampa Police Chief and former Tampa Police Chief and candidate for Mayor Jane Castor. This time she's going to answer questions about the environment, about transportation, about housing, and about civil rights.
My word is environment. And Jane, we've had conversations and you're so committed to the environment. You talked about doing a sustainability initiative and the protection and restoration of McKay Bay. But a lot of people have questions about this toilet to tap. So I was curious if you had any thoughts about that.
Yeah, I think first thing, I'm clearly not a marketer, but I think probably toilet to tap is probably not the way you want to describe it. I mean, really, it's like, oh, how about that toilet to tap issue? Oh, yeah, okay, whatever. But, you know, I don't know if anybody's seen, I happened on it. I can't remember who told me to watch it. Probably the same person that told me to watch that What the Health. Do not watch that video. Lord have mercy. But on Netflix, there, I think it's called Water Wars, and it's about California and the issues with water out there. And I see that as water being the next issue worldwide, not just here, and it is in clearly in a lot of countries. But that I think that the TAP program is a great solution to the water issues. For those of you who aren't aware of it, it's taking the wastewater, putting that through the treatment facility, piping it back to the second treatment facility, putting it back through the treatment process, and then putting it down into the aquifer so that it goes through the natural treatment as well. So it really is. In Pinellas County, I think that the rift there is more of a power rift than it is for the actual strategy. So it's my thought that we'll be able to work through that, because Pinellas County really is they're the ones that would benefit from that. So I think it's more of a process issue than it is the actual, not a process issue. The restoration of the water, I think, is a good process and a good thought, but just how we do that and how we work together to accomplish it is the issue. But water's going to be a big, big issue. The more people that move into the area, the Tampa Bay area, not just the city of Tampa, water's going to become a huge issue here.
Tom Scherberger.
Hey, Tom.
I know you're an avid bicyclist, as am I.
What's your word?
Oh, my word is transportation.
All right.
Including bicycles. I'm wondering how you will approach the complete street concept that the city apparently has endorsed, but when it came to a controversial project on Beta Bay, the mayor abandoned that idea. Mm-hmm. And so my big question for you is, will you support the engineer recommendations for Beta Bay, and how will you deal with similar projects in the future when there's an outcry from people who don't even live in the neighborhood?
Yeah, that's. I am a proponent of complete streets, and it's probably half the people, woohoo, and half the people, erase that vote. Because it works, it really does. It turns the neighborhoods back into neighborhoods and takes the roadways away from being raceways. And the congestion is caused by intersections. The complete streets doesn't reduce the flow along the roadways. The intersections are what causes congestion. So we need to re-engineer a lot of our intersections because that's a lot of that has to do with the traffic accidents as well. So I am a huge proponent of complete streets. I've chaired Bike Walk Tampa Bay since I retired. I'm an advocate of cycling, as I said, having wider sidewalks, having designated bicycle lanes. A lot of people, I get pushback with you've put these bike lanes and nobody's using it. Well, it has to be, it's one of those things that we have to become more of a cycling centric or just alternate modes of transportation centric community. Because you don't, as an avid cyclist, I don't necessarily ride around on the bike paths in the city. You know, I go out to other areas to ride because it is very, very dangerous. And we're not used to, as drivers, dealing with cyclists. One of the best marketing campaigns that I've seen are the little stickers you see in the back of people's cars that say, watch out for motorcycles, because you don't look for those as a driver, everyday driver, just as you don't look for bicycles. And so I had the little tags put across the back of police cars that say, watch out for cyclists, and it reminds you of the 3-foot rule that cyclists are allowed, that buffer. So that's going to come. That's going to come. It's not going to be all of a sudden we cut the ribbon on a street and we've got 400 cyclists out there. The cyclists have to feel comfortable and have to feel safe. And the fact we're number one in the nation for pedestrian bicycle deaths doesn't fill your heart with good, safe feelings about riding a bike.
Affordable housing continued. Barbara Stack.
Hey, Barbara.
I live in the neighborhood that is the northwest section of Kennedy and Dale Mabry, bordered by a lot of commercial property. And currently, Yummy House wants to take 2 lots behind them and turn them into a parking lot. And I want to know the feeling of having and hopefully not allowing commercial activity to encroach upon and take over residential properties. Because we are an affordable neighborhood, and you're giving up those capabilities if that's allowed.
Right. Thank you, Barbara. And that's a great point, too. And that's to go back to Seminole Heights and talk about that, you know, with the number of restaurants that are opening in Seminole Heights, there's very little parking, but people are still coming. So they're going to use, first, it's a learning, you know, people, they're parking in people's yards and everything else. And so that's aggravating. But what's going to happen is people are going to start taking, Uber and Lyft to restaurants and back, because then they don't have to worry about those parking spaces. So my position would be to provide less and less parking and go through that difficult learning phase. And then, because the cars, cars are going to be disappearing. So we're going to get more residents in. So clearly that means more cars, but the cars per capita are going to be reduced in the future. People are going to take alternate modes of transportation, but you're not going to do it unless it's difficult. You know, if it's easier to drive a car than it is to take the bus, then you're going to drive a car. So those are the kind of things that we need to look at is reduction in parking, which I know is very frustrating, especially if your house is the one that they're parking in the yard. But, we're going to have to go through some growing pains here in Tampa, and we're just all going to have to work together to find the solutions. And the solutions aren't more cars, and the solutions aren't more lanes on every roadway either.
My name is Cheryl DeLong.
Hey, Cheryl.
How are you?
Good.
I have a couple questions. But
today's BOGO. You get 2.
I get 2?
Yeah.
Wow. Civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that I ask about civil rights is because I've had a couple of issues in my life that have required me to reach out.
Mm-hmm.
and nobody's reaching back. It's become a crisis for me. And I want to know how we're going to get past the division in the city when it comes to race and relationships, so that when somebody is dropped, somebody ends up in the cracks, they don't stay down there forever.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's a great, thank you very much. Cheryl, you should win the prize today, and I hope that you do. And I would love to talk to you afterwards as well and see what assistance that I could be for you. But that is an issue that is very, very important. And I'll give you a story. I'll give you a couple of stories that are important. And it's I don't want to assume, but I would think, too, that you're talking about from a law enforcement point of view. Okay. So a couple of things. When I swear in all the officers, I would tell them our golden rule, and that was that everyone was treated with dignity and respect. And I would also tell a story that really dramatically affected the way that my police career went. When I was a young officer, I pulled an individual over, African-American older man, on Main Street. He had a tag on his truck that didn't belong on there. It was a criminal violation that he could have been taken to jail for. I wrote him a citation, let him go on his way, and frankly, I felt pretty good about it. I felt that I had given him a break. And I saw him a couple months later down on Main Street, talked to him, said, how's it going? How you doing? And he said, well, it's not going good. I'm not doing well at all. And I said, well, what's the matter? And he said, do you remember you wrote me a ticket? And I didn't even remember it. And he said, you wrote me a ticket for putting the tag that didn't belong on the truck. And he said, I couldn't pay that fine. He said, so my insurance was dropped. My license was suspended. He goes, and so I had to sell my truck to pay all of those fines. And I'm a junk man. That's the way I make my living. So for me, I walked away thinking that I had done something positive when I changed this man's life in a negative way. So that's the story that I would let younger officers know, that you need to understand the neighborhood that you're policing, and you need to work with the community in order to ensure that you're doing the right thing. And I'm gonna take more time on this. And then there's another one as well. I got a call from a woman, and she said that her husband was being racially profiled, that he was being pulled over on Nebraska because he was black, and he was being given tickets. And so I looked into it, and I called her back, and I said, no, your husband isn't being racially profiled. I said, your husband has a suspended driver's license. He's been given a number of warnings, and he continues to drive, and all the officers know him. And she said, well, he has to take our daughter to school every day. And I said, well, why is his license suspended? And she said, well, he had a DUI, and he can't pay the fines. So I called the sergeant, and I said, what are you doing? Why are you writing this person more and more tickets? You're just going around in a circle. I said, have an officer take him down to the courthouse to see the judge, get a work permit for him so he can get his driver's license back, he can take his daughter to school, and he can get a job instead of going in this circle that just takes him deeper and deeper and deeper down that rabbit hole. You're not solving any problems there. And so that's the way that we talk to our officers. And I do want to talk to you, Cheryl, before you leave. Thank you.
That was former Tampa Police Chief Jane Castor speaking on Friday at the Tampa Tiger Bay Club. You're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF.org. It's 11:54 in the morning. My name is Sean Canaan. We're going to listen to one more set of questions before the end of the show. And if you'd like to email who you're voting for, I'll read those after this set of questions. You can email dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. Here's former Tampa Police Chief and candidate for mayor, Jane Castor, speaking on Friday. She's going to be answering questions about, among other things, small houses. Here's mayor candidate Jane Castor.
Charlie Bean.
Hey, Charlie Bean.
How are you?
You can't say Charlie. You got to say Charlie Bean.
Well, you look terrific.
Oh, thank you. You'll all right. Even, well, you're my favorite person of the day.
You'll even look better behind that monument up there. which my architect firm designed.
Oh.
My word is small, and I'll get around to that, but a couple of things.
Let him compliment. That's an extra 15 seconds.
First thing I want to say is my family's been here for 138 years. I do have some history.
Yeah, there you go.
And I would tell you it would take a long time for me to make a list of all the things that our city and our county have done that are right and that are meaningful and are paying dividends over all this. Mm-hmm. You know, now I want to share with them our tertiary treatment water plant. We were on water when this came to mind, because a lot of people don't know it, but we designed and built, and this was the city, not the county. What are we doing about small housing?
There you go.
Now I wanted people to know what happened to the water. When they turned it on, it's important for people to know that that is the very best performing water treatment plant.
They won awards.
And when it turned on, Dale Twatman was there. I was there. He held a champagne glass under the
thing
and drank water out of it.
Thank you, Charlie Bain.
A brave man, toilet to tap. Thank you, Charlie.
Small houses was the question.
Small houses. Well, that is something that, you know, that we need to look at as well. But, you know, you have to watch out for the unintended consequences in some of these areas, too. I don't want anybody to be forced to live in a home that doesn't look like the homes around them. And then with the multi-housing as well, you know, we've learned, I think, lessons from some of the things that we've done in the past, and hopefully we won't make those mistakes. Like in Sulphur Springs, we've got the moratorium on the duplexes in Sulphur Springs, and, you know, some of the larger projects, housing projects that we had historically at College Hill and Ponce. That's why I like the idea of the affordable housing set-asides, because, again, we're, you know, our diversity is what defines us, and the fact that everybody lives together, everybody, we celebrate together. I always tell everybody, people from out of town, I say, if you come to Tampa, if you give us a week's notice, we'll hold a parade in your honor. We love our parades, but we all celebrate together and we work on our problems together as well. We're not perfect, but we're very, very wonderful community and very open and accepting. So I think that the set-asides with the affordable housing, I went to the Tampa Housing Authority, put on a presentation at West Tampa Library about the affordable housing high-rises that are going in West Tampa, and the Mary Bethune reworking of Mary Bethune as well. And I think all of those will be wonderful in the West Tampa area and will provide much-needed homes. The Housing Authority has a three-year wait now for home. Can you imagine if you're a mom and you go home to your kids and say, hey, in 3 years, we're going to have a house or an apartment. So this really, when I say we're behind on it, we are way behind on it. And the tiny homes are a possibility as well.
Well, that was, you've been listening to a forum from Friday at Tampa Tiger Bay Club. We got almost all the questions in. Both of the candidates for mayor were invited. Former Police Chief Jane Castor, you just heard there, and former banker David Straz. He said he was not available. I reached out to his campaign to join us this hour. I have not heard back. The runoff election for between Straz and Castor is April 23rd. And I'm going to read a couple of emails about people who said they were from people who said how they were going to vote or if they had other kinds of questions. SR out there in cyberspace wrote the following: homelessness, disabled, needy persons with nowhere to turn. Why can't the city provide public facilities so the disenfranchised don't have to urinate and defecate in public spaces? How about providing support, 24-hour restrooms with bathing facilities at transit centers, or maybe other places that don't require submission to religious dogma? So that's one comment that we got out there in cyberspace. Also, Gina T. wrote, why has anyone asked Castor why she took money from Domain Homes and from Vinnick? So those are two of the comments. And one other comment that came in says, from Anonymous, says, housing, there are no more excuses. People need shelter. This is unnatural. Our world today is at its most intelligent, Shelter for profit is the problem. And Anonymous continues with more. So thank you for those three comments. And if you would still like to leave a voicemail with your thoughts, give me a call at 813-238-8830. 8001, extension 114. I'll play your message tomorrow morning at 11. You can also join the conversation online at WMNF.org/news or on Facebook or Twitter at WMNF News. I want to thank our engineers, Frank Knox, Carolyn DT. I'm Sean Canaan. Stay tuned right now for Midpoint Monday. And once again, Nestor Ortiz is going to be filling in. So that's coming up after NPR headlines on WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland. Thanks so much for listening.